Want to learn how to podcast like me? Join us for the How to Podcast Weekend Webinar, June 25th and June 26th. You can sign up at howtopodcast.biz. Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 312, the show for computer repair technicians by computer repair technicians. And what I mean by that is we have techs come on the show and talk about computer repair, what they're doing, what's happening in their shop, what they're running into, what they're fixing lately, what they like, what they don't like, what's profitable, what's working for advertising, all that good stuff. They divulge their deepest secrets, business secrets, and no, just business secrets. None of their other secrets. They keep them to themselves. Let me introduce the guest and the host right now, and then I'm going to jump in and make a quick announcement. Joining us today as our technician is Eric Ardini from SiliconWrench.com. What's up, Eric?
Hi. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing awesome.
Staying busy.
That's great. Yeah, it's what I hear a lot. Eric is a first time coming on the show, and we love to see that because, you know, new viewpoints, new information. And it just keeps the Podnuts community expanding. So thanks for jumping on, Eric. I totally appreciate you coming on.
Oh, thanks for letting me come on your show. It's great.
Awesome. So let me introduce Timster, and then we'll come back, Eric, and we'll get started on whatever you prepared. Tim Kelly's joining us from timscomputerfix.com. Yo, Tim.
Hey, hey.
How's it going with you tonight?
Hey, it's going, man. Just like Eric, man, I've been very busy here lately.
Really?
Recently. Yeah.
I love to hear that, man. You guys keeping busy. All right. Well, let me just make a quick announcement here before I turn it over to Timster. As you know from last week, I announced Timster is going to be doing episodes of Podnuts Daily. And so we're going to do that. I'm going to turn it over to him, but I want to make an announcement because there has been some changes going on at Podnuts. You guys may have heard me like not hosting some of the shows. And I just want to say, relax. Don't worry about it. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be here. My finger is on the pulse. What's happening, though, is a lot of other guys are jumping in and doing some of the shows and basically giving me a break because we've done tons of shows. And I wear all the hats. I'm the engineer. I'm the host. I'm the promotion manager. I'm the CEO. I'm the treasury secretary. I'm everything. So it's a lot of work, and what I really want to do is step back a little bit from hosting and maybe some of the engineering work here, and start looking at wearing the CEO hat for Podnuts, and getting some promotion done, getting some sponsors, and gearing up a little bit. So these guys are stepping in for me. It's a huge help that they're doing this. I can't thank them enough. So if you hear some new voices hosting some of the shows, that's what's going on. Nothing's written in stone here. I mean, these guys are right now, they're helping me out. They might do it for an extended period of time. We don't know yet. But if you do want to mention anything to me as far as what you like, what you don't like, any opinions, I have an open line here. Just email me at mail@podnuts.com. I want to hear your feedback on any of the changes, and we'll just take it from there day by day. So with that being said, I want to announce one more thing before I go over to Timster. Is that cool? Is that cool, Tim?
Go, man. It's your show.
Thanks. We are, speaking of podcasting and shows, to next month in June, I'm going to be doing something kind of special. I call it the How to Podcast Weekend Webinar. Actually, I just changed it today. It's How to Podcast Like a Pro Weekend Webinar. It's going to be on June 25th and June 26th, Saturday and Sunday. It's a two-day affair. If you guys ever wanted to know how to podcast and do what we do here at Podnuts, I'm basically going to be telling you everything that I do, from equipment, how to start your show, getting started, how to get your website up, how to record shows, video shows, live shows, audio shows, how to put them on your site, how to get them on iTunes, how to get guests, how to talk to your guests, how to do all kinds of other like little secret podcasting tips, I call them, that I'm going to be, you know, divulging. Basically, what you're seeing on Podnuts, that's what I'm going to show you how to do. So I'm going to be telling all, and that's why it's a two-day affair, because there's so much to tell. It's going to be 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. both days. We're talking like 12 hours of like pure podcasting information right at you. So if you're interested in that, it's going to be a $50 charge. If you can't make it live, don't worry. There's going to be videos released afterwards of the whole seminar. So that's going to happen as well. What you want to do if you want more information is go to howtopodcast.biz. Put in your name and email address in that form until I get more details ironed out. Once I get your name and email and you're on the list, any new information about the webinar, how much, you know, how to pay and all that stuff, I will email that to everybody who signs up. So check it out. Go there. I hope you enjoy it. It's going to be a lot of fun for me. I finally get to tell you guys exactly what I do here. That's something I like to do, is after I learn how to do something well, or think I do it well, you tell other people how to do it too. It's kind of a fun thing. It's kind of how Podnut started, actually. So, okay, let me turn it over now to the host, Tim Kelly. And he's going to talk with Eric. Those guys are going to chat. I'm going to chime in when appropriate, if it ever is. And then that's going to be the show for today. So take it away, Tim.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I hope you guys are ready for a train wreck here. First of all, I just want to say, you know, following Steve's, you know, lead is not something that is easy to do. So I'm no pro, and I'm sure I got guys in TeamSpeak chat here just with their eyes peeled, just waiting on me to just trip over myself. So,
dude, all right. You have to be more. You have to be more positive.
I thought you were gone.
I'm not. No, if you say something like that, I'm going to jump in. Dude.
No.
You're going to do fine.
I'm just talking.
I'm just glad to be a passenger on board. You know, the train wreck.
I'm glad. Exactly. I have Eric here along on the train with me.
So, you know, Tim, people like to stare at train wrecks. So we'll get more watchers that way tonight.
Yeah, exactly. No, you know, I'm sure we'll do fine. I mean, I'm sure I will, I guess. But yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, by no means am I, you know, trying to live up to Steve's standards. Definitely not. But so for me, business has been well. And from what I hear, Eric, business has been well for you. And I see here on your site, at siliconwrench.com, you have used the Tech Site Builder. How's that worked out for you?
It's been great. I still think it's the most professional-looking website out of any of the competition around my area. I can't really give exact numbers on how many calls it brings me. I guess I should poll more often on how that goes, but it still looks nice. Even, you know, I've had it up like that for about a year now, or whenever. I think it's basically right after Steve released it to everybody. I think I jumped on board with that. I had a picture of myself up there for a while, and I had a couple pictures of us being in a parade with the car after we got the cube, and it's been great.
Yeah, I noticed the graphics there on your car it's like a wrench. I like your logo, man. It's cool. The Silicon Wrench, that's a great name for a computer repair shop. And where did you get the work done there on your car?
Honestly, I did that myself. I had a friend who needed some computer work on his vinyl cutting machine computer. So I worked on that computer, and I had to make sure that everything worked out okay and all the bugs were worked out of the computer. So I had him bring over his vinyl cutter. I ordered some vinyl off of eBay and just designed it myself and cut it all out. And I've still got a couple extra pieces, you know, if one falls off or anything like that.
Oh, sweet, man. That worked out great for you. Yeah, I use the Tech Site Builder also, techsitebuilder.com. I hang my hat on it. My whole business revolves around my website and Google AdWords. So you guys got to check it out if you haven't purchased that product yet. You need to.
Yeah, I highly recommend it.
All right, Eric, what do you have on the list?
I would say, along with the Tech Site Builder, one little thing that I added to it that I don't know if Steve has ever addressed on it is the use of a favicon. When somebody clicks on your website, I think it adds that little bit more professional when they click on your website and they don't see like a blank page up there in their address bar or their tabs. They got a little your logo on it. I think that just adds a little something. And I did it for free online. It was just some instructions, I think, when I Googled it one day, but it helps a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely agree. As a finishing touch, no doubt. Now, does that show up in? Because I'm using Firefox here, and I don't notice the Avicon there. I guess that would be Internet Explorer, maybe Chrome too.
Yeah, I use Chrome almost all the time. I'm not sure. Maybe it doesn't work in Firefox.
I'm not seeing it either, Eric. But it is a great suggestion. Actually, I'll probably add that. I'm using Firefox too.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's another thing, you know, with websites, you got to test them in all three, you know, to really know how everything's going to look for each one. There are little differences sometimes.
Absolutely. Yep. You're right. I like the fact that you use the green. Not very many people. Door-to-door Geek uses the green theme on the text site builder, so I kind of like that. And you got your ACRBO accredited logo there. The Association of Computer Repair Business Owners.
I'm actually on the leadership team for ACRBO.
Really?
Yeah. I've helped make a couple decisions with Dan Hand. I know he's been on Podnuts before. I think he said that Steve's talked to him recently. He might be coming back in maybe June.
Yeah, he's scheduled for a daily. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, great.
Awesome.
Yeah, ACRBO just actually... last week awarded two scholarships to high school seniors that are going to be in the tech field as their chosen field of study.
Well, just for our listeners, what is the ACRBO exactly?
It's a association of it stands for the Association of Computer Repair Business Owners. You can join for free. It gives you actually, I just started a listserv on Google that you can chat with each other. There's special deals from different partner companies. You know, you can get special deals from like Nine Technologies, and you can see it on the website there. Actually, it's just a lot of chatting back and forth with your fellow comrades, kind of like Podnuts does. Live and over podcast, so you can type it in and email back and forth and get some questions answered sometimes.
And it can put your customers a little more at ease. They feel a little more rest assured. It's almost like a license, so it gives your customers a bit more confidence in using you as their technician.
Yeah, when you become a premier member, it does have I don't remember what the yearly rate is, but he does send you some cards that say that you are a member of it. You can show that to your customer to let them rest assured. And there's a code of ethics that you need to follow to be a member of it.
Does it cost to be a member?
It doesn't. It's free, but then there's a premier member that that gets you the cards and a certificate.
Okay, great. That's definitely something I need to look into.
Yeah, it's helped, I think. I have had a couple calls because people like to look at they do a Google search, they're going to look for things like that when they don't know exactly who they're going to go to when you've got five guys in town all doing the same thing.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%. All right, what else you got?
I wanted to say one thing. You guys, this has to go along with the scholarships. When I was going from high school to high school one day, I was dropping off the scholarship packets at each of these high schools. And this was in April. And I downloaded a show, I think it was probably the April 1st show of Android, your Android show. And this is probably, I think, April 16th I was listening to it. And that's the thing about podcasts, you're not always live. And when you guys, Steve had mentioned that he had handed out iPhones, and you guys totally got me. And then to hear Lalo talk about, Words with Friends crashes on the iPhone just as much as it does on the Android. I really thought you guys had switched. I honestly did. I was beside myself. I'm like, no, man, really?
Oh. So I guess you weren't around for last year's April Fool's joke then, I guess.
I don't remember last year. No, maybe not.
Okay. Well, that's good then. That's what we were hoping. We knew the ones that were around for last year's April Fool's trick. We were hoping the ones that weren't around for that wouldn't catch on to this one. So I'm glad. You're one of the few we've heard that actually kind of bit on that.
Oh, yeah, you guys totally nailed me on that one.
Well, were you upset about it?
Oh, I was going to be. I was going to. Yeah.
You didn't do what Fuber Johnny did you? Like, kick your cat and, like, tear up the house and stomp upstairs like a little, you know, just pissed.
I was in the car. I was mad. I was like, really? Well, you guys, there's not enough Apple stuff already? Come on.
Nah, not me. I'm not an Apple fan, honestly. So, you know, I'm really not. And I've worked on several Apples, and I don't like their phone either. So there. I'm an Android guy all the way.
I always worry when we do those jokes that people are going to stop listening to the show forever if they do believe it.
So, oh, I would have. Yeah. Well, I don't got no use for an Apple show. For an Apple iPhone show, I guess.
Some people want it. Some people want it. But
I suppose, yeah.
We'll see.
Nah.
You can keep them both, you know. Android and Apple, so it would be okay then. Separate. Maybe.
Android forever. I love my Android phone.
Being not an Apple guy, this is something too for Steve. Maybe I should talk to him about Zune for my podcast. I use that, and I only seem to get pod nuts off of it. I don't know why I don't pick up like the other pod nuts shows on Zune.
I never submitted them to the marketplace. I don't think when I first started pod nuts, I submitted it to everything in creation, every site in creation, including the Zune marketplace. And then I think Daily might be on there, and then I just didn't put any of the other shows up yet. And it's stupid. I should, but I just didn't. So I'll make sure the marketing manager knows about that.
Sorry.
You still use your Zune? You still use the Zune?
I never use the Zune itself. I just like the software on the PC.
Interesting.
It works really good.
Your marketing manager. Who's that, Lalo?
It's me right now.
I know.
We'll see. We'll fill up the.
Yeah, just throwing that out.
Yeah,
it's a good idea. I think I'll make Eric the marketing manager.
There you go. I can help if I can.
All right.
I remember the first time I ever heard a voice on the internet was the tech web talk guys, and actually him and his wife. Man, I can't remember his name right now. But he is the guy in charge over there at the Zune for media now.
Really?
Yeah. It was Ken Rakowski was one of the guys I listened to at the very first. This is before RSS feeds and podcasting or anything. I don't know. It was a guy and his wife. They're called the Web Talk guys.
Never heard of him.
So Eric. What kind of repairs have you been getting in your shop lately? I see here, you know, you got on-site IT service. Are you more of an IT guy? Are you more of you like the business, you know, working on business side of things in the IT, or are you more of the home user computer type? What kind of repairs have you been getting in your shop here lately?
I do about half and half for home repairs and business. Lately, it's been a lot of Windows XP recovery virus, and had another one the other day called MS Removal Tool that was just similar, same thing. A lot of that lately. It comes in waves sometimes. Maybe it's because of the weather around here. Like, we've got a tornado warning if I get dropped off or something. It's not too far from here right now tonight, but it come in waves, or I get power supplies, you know, all at once, a few of those.
Yeah.
And I've talked to other shop owners, and they don't seem to get the waves, but man, it definitely is for me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just got my hot air rework station a few months back, and I was like, all right. And I did like one power jack repair, and then it's been 3 months. I have not had one freaking power jack problem come through my shop. It's been like bad hard drives. I don't know what it is. All of a sudden I'm getting machines with bad hard drives. But at the same time, it's been a while since I've done viruses. Now I'm on a virus kick. I've got five machines sitting here that are infected So you're right. It does come in waves. It's amazing how that works.
Yeah, I think it does. And hard drives, about a week or two ago, I had a spat of those also. As far as the outside stuff, businesses, I do a little bit of everything out there. If I just actually 2 weeks ago set up a kiosk machine for as a tire sales place. It's a big shop. They got like 20 computers in there that I do all their IT work for them. But he wanted to set up a display. He had a Dealer 20 group coming where people from all over the country could come visit his shop. So he wanted a touchscreen display that people could, you know, go up and play with and learn more about his facility and things like that. And also to keep around for the customers after the group was gone. And so I bought a touchscreen computer off of eBay. It was an Asus. And it didn't... the touchscreen was kind of flaky on it. So I was going to... Well, I could just put all my icons that people would touch just over on the part that worked really well. Hmm. So I tried that, and then it was even worse than I thought when I got it from eBay, or from the seller. But it turns out that the Asus warranty was still good. So I went ahead and I sent it to Asus, and they put they did something, replaced the something in there and made the screen a little better. Still not perfect though. I mean, if it was my own computer and I sent it off to get that job done, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been very happy, you know, to get it back still working halfway. But after all this time, it took more time than he had this big group of people come, and he wanted it done by the next Tuesday when I finally got it back from Asus.
Yeah.
So I was trying to learn Silverlight real quick and throw something together for him, because I had done Flash back in college, and it just didn't work really well. So what I ended up doing is getting a Squarespace account, and I set up just a real quick website with just big buttons. And I went ahead and put Chrome on the computer and then disabled like almost all the touchscreen fancy stuff. And just went full screen mode in Chrome and disabled the keyboard and things like that. So then it was just, and hooked it up to the internet wirelessly, because there's just a power cord, because it was a wireless touchscreen computer that had 802.11, you know, G or whatever built into it. It worked okay. It was, I wasn't real proud of it being a 5-day touchscreen, you know, job, and it kind of showed, but it worked out okay.
Oh, that was brilliant. I mean, in a situation like that, somebody like me, I would have folded. That's really great to know. You know, you played your strengths there, but I don't want to be in a situation like that. You know, now, you know, then you got a touchscreen that doesn't work, you know, and so, you know, you really played to your strengths on that one. That was great.
Yeah, I thought I could learn Silverlight a lot faster than I really need to take class on that if I'm going to try to use that next time.
Awesome. Cool. So I guess they were all happy in the end, huh? They're happy with your work and everything. Did you go back and fix it how it originally was supposed to be, or what?
Well, after the setup and everything, you know, a couple weeks went by and the Squarespace free account was running out. So I told him, you know, I go, I can elaborate on this more. I can work on it from home and make it, you know, a lot better for you. And he goes, well, honestly, I think I've seen two customers since it's been here even go up and touch it.
Okay.
So I go, well, why don't we just try a month of the Squarespace and see how it goes. And then if you want me to go farther from there, if not, you can... You know, take it home, put it in your kitchen. Your wife would love you for having a nice touchscreen, you know, kitchen computer. It's got Windows 7 on it and everything. It's, you know,
so only two people.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
it's worth it. You know, he had an idea that he wanted to do this, and so we tried it.
That's right. Hey, you look good. You come out smelling like roses in the end of that one anyway, so that's good.
Yeah,
good work.
It worked out.
Yeah. Cool. All right. What else?
I do have kind of a strange story from a consumer customer. I had a phone call that another tech had referred me to this lady, and she calls me up. She says that whenever she plugs in her monitor to the white slot on the back of her computer, it doesn't do anything. And there's, she says there's two blue slots on the back she plugs it in, and only one of them works. So I'm thinking, well, you know, it must be a video card problem, you know. And she goes, it's not the video card, because I just went to Staples and I bought the most expensive video card that they had, and I think it's a driver issue. I downloaded DriverSmith and everything, you know, and that's got it, and it's still not working. And I'm like, DriverSmith? I've never heard of that, you know. I didn't know what that was. I didn't know if it was like the first thing that popped up on Google when she typed in video card driver. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of that, Timster?
Yeah, driver sweeper I have, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. So I didn't know if it was something good or bad. I went ahead and went out there to look at it. She's like, well, I've only got $100, so could you look at my mom's computer instead?
Okay. You know? What?
So, yeah. So instead of going to her computer room, I go to her mom's computer room, and she's got like an older, I think it was an HP, and I think it had some viruses that weren't letting her get on the internet is what it was, and I think her mom might have been paying the internet bill, so she had to get her computer going up first. So I went over there, fixed it up. Actually, I showed her how to use Chrome, because she was using IE, and I don't know if I did Thunderbird or something. She was using Outlook Express mm-hmm. still for email. So I spent some time with her mom. And, you know, I kind of like teaching older people on how to do stuff like that.
So you got her back online. What exactly was wrong? Why couldn't she get online? Do you remember?
I think it was a malware. It was blocking something. It had made a proxy. You know, I had to erase the proxy settings, if I remember correctly on that one. Yeah. So I did that job. I went back home, and, you know, about 3 weeks later, she calls up. She's like, oh, I got some more money, so could you come look at my computer? I'm like, okay. Hmm. So I go to her house, and I think, I don't know why, for some reason I picked her computer up from her house and took it with me. I believe, I don't know if I didn't have time to stay there at that moment or what it was, but I took her computer. I got it back here, and I looked at it. I opened it up. And she had actually purchased an AGP, really nice AGP video card, but unfortunately she had put it into a PCI Express slot.
Oh.
There was no AGP slot on the motherboard for this video card.
Well, that wouldn't have, I can imagine when you say she put it there, I can imagine that was fitting very well. Or sitting very well in that slot, was it?
It was kind of in there better than you'd expect. You know, it wasn't perfect. That's, you know, definitely. But it broke off. There's a little white lever that holds it on. It had broke that off, and it was laying in there. But no damage done. I had a PCI Express video card, slapped it in, and it works great. And, you know, she's a truck driver, and she likes to play World of Warcraft, and I think that, you know, made it a little better for her.
You know, there's a story like that too about there was a box I got in my shop, and they said they were having video problems, and opened it up, and the video card was mounted to the case, you know, with the screw and everything, but. Yep. It wasn't even touching the slot. It was like hovering over the slot. So I was jokingly calling that virtual video.
I assumed when I picked it up, is what it was, is she had this, you know, high end card from Staples, the best one she could get, and it was an eMachines computer. So I just assumed that it needed a power supply. You know, that it was, you know, it was installed correctly, but there was not enough power supply in the eMachines to make it function correctly.
Right, which eMachines are famous for.
Power right.
Supply. Yep.
Yep.
Mm. So how was she getting video? I mean, she was plugging it into the ORN board. She wasn't getting video through that AGP card, was she?
No.
Oh, I didn't think so. That would have been even more amazing.
Oh, yeah. I would probably have to hire her if she could figure that one out.
Well, she's lucky she didn't fryer board or something.
Right. That, yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't. Nothing. Yeah, it's fine. That went.
Great story, Eric. Wow.
Yeah, that was that's one in a million probably for me.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, what else?
I had a computer in here last week that had the it was well, it came as a laptop, a gateway laptop, and it wouldn't boot, and it was giving me error that said it was a giving me a Windows System 32 config system corrupt or missing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know those.
Yeah, so I start looking at it, you know, I tried the recovery console and it didn't, I couldn't get anything to come up. The laptop has a Windows Vista Basic sticker on it, but everything I saw when I was looking around, pull the hard drive out, was all XP Pro. So I called the guy up, you know, there was no, I couldn't find a recovery partition or anything like that. So I was like, well, you know, so maybe somebody had already been here, you know. Maybe threw XP Pro on there for or something, and so I
Right,
called the
downgraded.
or that yeah or that, and
Yeah.
I called the customer up, and he goes, no, nobody's done anything with it. This is exactly the way she bought it, brand new. So I was going to back everything up, you know, that I could find on there and just reinstall it, but then you know I didn't have an I had a her EULA, or not EULA, the sticker from Microsoft on the back was for Vista Basic.
Aha.
So anyway, I ran SpinRite on it, did super anti-spyware, you know, it had a few things on it. I didn't have any disks for this computer, no recovery partition, like I said.
So how did you get past the Windows System 32 error you were getting?
Well, I went, and this is all I did, and I still don't know what happened. But I put an HP Vista recovery disk in that I had from another computer, and it said it wouldn't do it because of an H it was an HP disk. And it says, no, this isn't an HP computer. You can't use this disk. I pulled the disk out, and it booted up.
Yep.
I don't
I
know.
tell you, I've had strange things like that happen with restoration disks from different vendors on different computers for various strange reasons, just like you're talking about. So I don't know what it is, but I know exactly what you're saying there.
Yeah, so I booted up, and it booted into XP Pro. It had all this Lenovo Care, Lenovo this, and Lenovo that. So it was like, I'm just thinking that it was maybe one of those computers on the edge of switching from, you know, XP to Vista, where you might have still had a choice, and they just slapped the wrong sticker on it, and it shipped with Pro. I mean, it was full of viruses and stuff. It was a teenager's computer. I don't know how many teenagers' computers you get, but man, they are full of stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I get ones like that all the time. I get ones in that I had one come in, that was the oddest thing was going on with it. It, you know, it was crazy. She had tried to do a restoration for whatever reason, but she pointed her restoration at the restore partition. So it installed on her restore partition, and then, you know, when I get it, and then she's, you know, says she can't get on the internet because it, you know, now it's booting into her restore partition. There was no drivers for her the internet, and that's how it ended up on my bench. But you know, as soon as I said okay, well, she brought it in my shop. It was in standby mode. She opened it up. I saw the, you know, the generic, you know, desktop, and it looked like it'd be freshly installed. I was like, oh, okay. And I went to the device manager right in front of her, and I said, yeah, you know, you got missing drivers here. I said, I can fix that, no problem. So just leave it with me. And when she left, I went ahead and installed the, you know, the Ethernet drivers and got online. I was like, okay, well, while I have it, I'll just start updating everything, and hit Windows update. And it wasn't 3 minutes. I got a disk space usage error. The disk space was running out. I was like, what? And that's whenever I started digging, and I discovered that that particular Windows she was booting to was on the restore partition, which, you know, that's only like what, 13 gigs?
Yeah.
And boy, and so I ended up booting into her other, the original partition, and then it wasn't activated. This was on an HP computer. And for some reason, it wasn't activated, and it had 3 days left for activation. So I'm like, what is going on here? And all kinds of strange errors. So for what I did immediately right then, I checked the hard drive. I ran two tools. I ran my disk patch, and I ran a Crystal Disk. And come to find out, the hard drive was dying. And I'm assuming what happened was, is I've seen it before when hard drives start to flake out. They'll even lose their activation, and that'll make the customer go, oh, what? Oh, no. And then they'll start digging around trying to figure out how to fix it. They'll start restoring things. But yeah, that's kind of similar to what you were, you know, looking at. It's just some kind of odd, peculiar problems. But, yeah, it was a bad hard drive. So I guess the hard drive on that one was okay, huh, on yours?
Yeah, it was actually one of the best. I'm used to when I use in the spin right that, you know, to take for a day or, you know, at least half a day to run. And this one breezed right through it. I'm like, wow, that's definitely not the problem. You know, because sometimes when I'll get a bad hard drive, that sometimes you'll get, you know, a boot problem like that because something will mess up in the, you know, boot area of the disk. And it passed with flying colors that time.
Exactly. And by the way, while we're on the subject, I mean, like the Bible, the very first commandment in my shop is the very first thing I do when I get a computer is check the hard drive status. Because once, you know, once you see that the hard drive is having problems, you know, there's no sense in trying to troubleshoot it, clean it up, anything. The best thing you need to do is protect their data if they have any on there they need to. So it's just my little rule of thumb there.
What do you use for that Crystal Disk then to check
that? If I can't boot to Windows, I use an external program called Disk Patch. It's at DIY.com, DIYDataRecovery.com. And I use that. I boot into it, and it in about 2 minutes, it gives me reads the smart data on the drive and gives me a little readout of what the drive's doing. If I can boot into Windows, I use Crystal Disk, which is a very good tool for testing the hard drive. Or, you know, you can remove the hard drive, mount it via external enclosure or USB enclosure, and like you put it on your bench machine and run Crystal Disk on it, then it'll give you a quick readout of what the hard drive's doing. They'll either say good or caution, and it'll tell you what the problems are it found, if it finds any.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I just, you know, that's just, because, you know, a lot of techs, they'll keep trying to troubleshoot a computer that has a drive that's failing. They don't even know it's failing, trying to figure out how, you know, how to boot it up or how to restore it or whatever, and, you know, without checking that hard drive.
Yeah, and then you spend, you know, the guy will spend so much time messing with it and then starts, you know, degrading any data that's left on there. You know, you missed your last chance to save anything then.
That's right, man. On a bad drive, every time you turn it on could potentially be the last time that drive fires up. So, a little bit of word of warning.
Yeah. I was going to mention another job that I did recently where a business... This is another business, back to them again.
Great.
Had a virus that showed up in one of the business computers. They didn't have a network. It's a really small business, but they've got a really nice sign outside. Well, what I thought was a really nice sign. I look at the computer, and it's running Windows XP. He wants to upgrade to Windows 7. And I told him, like, well, that's fine. You know, we can do that. The only problem we're going to have, if we have any problems, it's going to be your sign, because I saw when I unhooked it, it was running from a USB to serial connector, and then serial into some other box, and then that goes up via a telephone cord to the sign, and it's a big LED sign outside. So then I go to look at the program that he had on there, and it's called something like WinPoint 95. I'm like, oh, you know, it was probably hard for the original guy to get this to work on XP, and now I'm going to try to put 7 on it. And it was a nightmare. It took me almost a month to get him back going. I mean, I got the sign right off the bat, the sign program to run. Well, not right off the bat.
What, Windows 7?
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised you even found drivers for that computer for Windows 7 if it had XP on it. That's amazing.
Well, yeah, the drivers weren't too bad for that. I could not find a driver for that RS-232 to USB serial cable.
I bet.
But I went to Radio Shack, and they had the identical thing, but black now, but it had the exact same markings on it, and this one was Vista certified. So I don't know what they changed inside to make that one work and the old one not work anymore, but that was a $40 serial cable, USB adapter cable at Radio Shack. I felt bad even spending that much money on such a thing. So I get it back there, and I try to get it working. And the guy, you know, he's got, this is like on the busiest intersection in our county, the sign. He took down a clock that had been on the side of his building forever and put the sign up. And so he's got to have a clock running, or people start getting mad because they're so used to knowing what time it is right when they come over the bridge. So I get there, and he's got the sign off when I come back with the computer. And he goes, yeah, the sign was 4 hours off, so I had to turn it off. I didn't want, you know, people mad. So I plug it in, and everything's going pretty good. I run everything in compatibility mode as far as that Windows 95 program, and I go to hit sync time with the sign, and it worked. I was like, oh, okay, we're good. So I hit update sign because he wanted to change what he had written on it, and it didn't do nothing. It crashed the computer. It didn't crash the computer, but it just... like a hard stop on that program and said you have to exit it. I'm like, oh, okay. Wow. But we did get the sign time set up. I'm like, you know, so I told him, you know, I'm really not very good with the sign thing. And could we call the guy who put the sign up there and have him take a look? And I did warn you ahead of time that the sign was going to be the problem if we ended up having one. So I called the sign guys that put it there, and you're like, oh man, this was an old sign when we put it up. You know, it was like one of the last kinds of this one. That company's out of business, this and that. So I find this owner's manual, and I call the number on it, and it's disconnected. And like they said, yeah, the place is out of business. But luckily for Google, Google led me to some guy in Alabama or Kentucky, one of the two, somewhere down south there. But he specializes in people looking for help on these old signs. He seems to be the last guy who actually knows anything about them. So I called him up, and he was really short on the phone with me. He's like, he goes, it's going to be $110 an hour, and I bill by the hour, no matter how long it takes. Just you have to email me and give me your credit card number first. And it was really short with me, and click. I'm like, man, maybe he just threw that up on Google searches and, you know, take people's credit card numbers, because he didn't really sound like he knew much about the sign, you know?
Wow.
So the sign guys came over and they looked at it one day, and then I went back there another day, and back and forth for about a month trying to mess with the sign, and the business owner's just he's fuming that nobody can fix his sign.
And yeah.
He's had the same message out there for a month now. The time works, but that's as far as I got. So I finally, you know, I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to call this guy. These guys, the sign people, they don't know what they're doing. They can't. They don't know any more than I do about it, and they installed it. So I called this guy back up, and this time he was not short with me at all. And he said, you know, there's no way you're going to get this sign program working on Windows 7. I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. At this point, we had already reinstalled the program on two other computers running XP, and we still couldn't get it going.
Mm-hmm.
So we had his old computer just sitting there, and all it was one parameter in the program that needed changed. And if we I thought that I had switched everything back and forth at least once, and the sign guys thought they had changed everything at least once. And it's just that one, it's this one little, this like 16-bit to 32-bit, and that was it. I was just beside myself. I couldn't believe it. So it, sometimes you just want to, you want the computer business, but from a business, there's always, it seems like there's always something like a dot matrix printer over there that they have to use for this, or a sign using a serial port, or, there's always some weird little parallel port still in use here and there with businesses for some reason or another.
Oh man, that's you're so right. I mean, that does carry over to the residential side also. They're, in different ways. I mean, there's just always something. Sometimes it's always something so simple, and you overthink things sometimes. And stuff like that, it'll make you pull your hair out. And I mean, just today, I'll give you an example on my side. I had a Dell computer in here that I did a reinstall on, and I just needed to install the drivers all for it. And basically, Dell's website, getting all the drivers for it, I couldn't get this one driver installed, which is a wireless driver. And I was sitting here looking, and they had like six different freaking wireless drivers for that laptop. So I'm trying each one. And I almost to the point where I gave up. The driver would not install. The device manager is still said, unknown device. Pulled my hair out for a minute. Stepped away from it. Talked to somebody in the chat. Come to find out, I had the wrong tab clicked on the Dell support site. One tab's all drivers, and then one tab's your basic drivers. I clicked the basic drivers, and that shortened the list to like two. The LAN and the WLAN. And basically what it was is I had overlooked that one WLAN driver and installed it. There it is. But it's stuff like that, exactly like that. They could just give computer repair techs a bad day,
Yeah, yeah. I try to use the service tag as much as I can when I go to Dell. I don't know. I think that they know which things they put in there then. If it's, If it's like an internal wireless card, hopefully that hasn't been changed out, to mess with that. But right. Yeah, those Dells, they can have a lot of different drivers for the same thing in there. I've seen that before.
Yeah, don't confuse yourself. Like I say, when you go to their drivers, there's two tabs. One is the basic drivers. There's another tab right next to it that said view all drivers or something. And that's for like add-on stuff and that they give you driver support for. And what it did was just completely confuse me. And I install drivers all the time. I don't know why this time I clicked that tab, but I did. And I set myself up a bad road. I felt like I couldn't fix nothing today. You ever have days like that, man, where you just feel like you can't fix anything?
Oh, yeah.
Everything is going wrong. Oh, yeah. I hate it. So, it's just not always peaches and cream.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. It makes you, question your abilities, that when you get like two or three in a row, that just like, what? You're beside yourself.
Yep, exactly. And then your phone rings and it's another customer who, right in the middle of all that, says, this computer that I brought home won't recognize my files. It's like, oh, geez. right in the middle of that, that's where everybody's got to take a deep breath, step back, rethink everything, stepping away from it. Maybe like sleeping on it sometimes is the best thing to do.
Yeah, definitely. It's like your brain grinds on it while you're sleeping. And sometimes you'll just wake up, like, I'm going to try that. And absolutely.
Dude, you're right. There's sometimes things come to me in my sleep. That's pretty bad. that's how passionate at least I am about, what I do. And on your side there, Eric, I really admire you because, you do the business side of things and, that's really a whole other ballpark. That could be a lot more stressful than dealing with the residential side of things. So hats off to you on that.
Yeah, the business is, definitely. I didn't want to get too much into the businesses, and I'm not out actually seeking businesses, but just the word of mouth finally spills over, to a business owner here and there. But when you're in the, you know, when you want to take on some businesses, it's right now. You need to drop everything because it's an emergency. There's never it's not like, well, you know, my daughter doesn't need it for a couple days. Most of her homework's backed up, or, you know, with residential, you can take a couple days to, you know, to fix it and get the job done right. Especially like on a virus removal, when you're in a business, they need it back, right? As soon as you can. And sometimes you got to skip a couple steps just to get the computer back there so they can, you know, do their payroll at the end of the day. Cause a lot of times computers crash on Fridays for a business, you know, and they got to make payroll checks out and, you know, things like that. It's always an emergency with the businesses.
Well, I stay so busy with the residential stuff. I can't drop everything and go to a commercial. So, you know, what I really need is an on-site guy is what I really need. I need somebody. If anybody's out there in my area in Savannah, Georgia, and is listening, I'm looking for somebody dependable, honest, trustworthy, that can go out and kind of handle my on-site IT stuff, maybe for businesses, because I do get calls from businesses, and I have to be very careful of what jobs I take. So, but I stay so busy with my residential. I there's no way I could take on the commercial vantage point of it too. So,
yeah, I think the population in my town is 10,000. I got another town right across the river that's 15,000. So, you know, total of, you know, at the high end, 25,000 people. So the residential will slow down sometimes, you know. I do, you know, go out to a couple other surrounding areas, but and you've got a lot more customer base to work with there, I think, too, than I do. Take it wherever it comes, man, you know.
Exactly. And I'm more comfortable with the residential. That's what Podus Pro is for, you know, for all those commercial guys. That's just too much of a stressful situation for me in that. I've stepped my foot into it a couple of times and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Didn't like that.
10 years ago when I started this, I never thought I'd even, you know, do anything more than residential. And I didn't even know I was going to do that. I was just doing it for beer money on the side. You know, I just had a full-time job all the time. You know, exactly. I was always the kind of guy that would have at least two or three jobs at once, you know, and this was one of them.
But I will say this, though, with the passion I have for computer repair, if I was sitting here twiddling my thumbs with no residential work, then you know what I would be doing? I'd be setting up servers in my home and learning them, because I would be wanting to, you know, find other ways to make money off of what I do. And then I probably would. And I still plan on, you know, learning it. But, you know, I just don't want to get thrown into it. And I don't want to be liable for anything.
Right. Yeah. That's a big, you add a little bit of risk with the businesses. You know, I'm the same way as you. If I had some extra time to sit down and even to go through the Microsoft free videos that they offer the TechNet subscribers, you know, just a training on this and that, you know, I'd love to sit down and do that. I just don't seem to ever have the time to do any of that, you know. Do you have your own office, Dempster, or do you work out of your house?
I have my own shop. It's connected to my house, but it's got its own front door. It's kind of unique. I mean, when you walk up to my home, it's got two front doors. The door to the left opens up to my living room. The door to the right opens up to my shop. So it's kind of unique, but it's working for me, man. And I definitely, people do not mind at all coming here. It was one thing I was really worried about when I started, but you know, I don't have to walk them through my living room and walk them through my kitchen and then down into a basement, you know, that opens right up into my shop. So I got kind of lucky in that, but I was really surprised at how much people just, they don't mind coming to a residence to get their computer fixed. Now the downside of that is, of course, you're not visible, you know, you're not on a busy street invisible. So your advertising has to be, you know, really spot on, and the word of mouth thing. I mean, you have to do good work. You have to get people talking about you. You have to find ways to advertise that works for you. But so far so good. I'm growing every month here. So yeah. I mean, what about you? I mean, you have a shop on a busy street.
No, I've got a house just off a busy street.
All right.
Yeah, and I park the cube out front, and it's got, like the stickers on the back of it, so everybody drives by kind of will see it. They glance over and see it. I'd say I don't do really any advertising, other than like the ACRBO scholarship. I got to put that for free on like the city PowerPoint channel on Comcast, things
Right.
like that. But I don't really
Oh,
advertise at all. It's just
that
all
is
word of
awesome.
mouth.
It's all word of mouth, and people see your vehicle. You said you're on a corner of a busy street, you said?
Yeah, I just live just off, not quite on the corner, but just off the corner. And so far, I'm doing it out of my house. I'd like to get a shop. In fact, the guy with the sign, I probably should have taken him up on it. He had a little office space for $550 a month. I just know when that comes, I have to hire somebody because if I'm going to be on call, I don't want to be, the guy hanging a sign in the door. I'll be back in, an hour or something like that. I don't know if.
Exactly.
And I don't know if I'm ready to take that step to hire somebody to sit around the shop all day and
Yeah.
or,
Well,
I kind of
that's
like.
really awesome. I didn't know that because, somebody like you and I running our businesses out of our homes, there are so many other, techs, trying to get started, and you don't want to bite off more than you can chew. Not having to pay for another a shop location is, I mean, it helps financially to get started. And it's hard. I'm sure you can attest to it. It's hard starting off out of your home, trying to get business, trying to get word of mouth. And it takes time. It definitely takes time. But I think, a lot of aspiring computer repair techs who are trying to start off, out of their business, it's probably refreshing for them to hear somebody like you and I, doing it out of our homes and being successful with it. You can do it. It just you have to do good work, and you have to devote the time that it's going to take to build a clientele base there. Don't you agree?
I totally agree. Yeah, I've been doing this part time for about 10 years and full time for since last September. I actually quit. I had a job at a brand new factory. It was a really neat place. I've never worked at a factory before that, but they had promised me some things that never really came true. So I said, I'll just try this full time and see how it goes. And I think looking back, I wish I would have done it. 7 years ago. I wish I would have never been so timid into taking the step of counting on this as my only income because I've been blessed. I've just absolutely have not been twiddling my thumbs ever since I started. And I just
Exactly.
wish I would have done it sooner.
Yep. Yeah, and I think if you're going to put money into something starting at your home instead of trying to push yourself into coming out with the money to get a shop and all that stuff, how about just like you did, get some signage on your vehicle, put some money in your yard, your presentation, like uniforms, a shirt, nice hat if you wear hats. Always look professional. Start off with stuff like that. And your website and your advertising, put your money there first.
Yeah, I bought a up here it's cold, so I bought a Carhartt jacket and had a Monogram shop here sew in my logo into the back of it really big, so everywhere I walk any in the fall and winter, I'm a walk-in advertisement for it, and it's a I like Carhartt jackets anyway, they're nice and warm. But yeah, the car I wasn't I, I'm doing that. I'm doing this all debt free too. I don't suggest any computer repair guy go out and borrow a bunch of money. I know some guys start out their businesses that way, and actually they make their payroll out of the money they're borrowing from somebody. I don't know if you could write a business plan for a computer repair shop that would let a bank do that, give you that kind of money to start out with. But I'm really trying to do it debt free myself.
Yep.
I'm kind of a Dave Ramsey guy, I guess.
Yep. I
I
think
grew
that's
it.
the worst mistake you can make is go into debt. I mean, starting off in debt. I know
Yeah.
successful computer repair guys right now, very successful computer repair guys, who did nothing but pay cash straight up for everything they've ever had to purchase.
Yeah.
And yeah, and they're and you know, and they didn't start off big time. They didn't have a lot of money to start off with, but they didn't create a lot of debt. And it was because of that that they were able to be where they are today, and And I think it's just important. That's a really good point.
Yeah, it just gives you so much freedom, you know. And if you, and I don't know what you think about this, Timster, but I think, you know, down the road we're all going to have to start branching off into more. You know, we got to be Android fixers and tablet fixers coming up. You know, you can all see the desktop jobs getting slimmer and slimmer, and more laptops. You know, yep. If you got all your eggs in one basket, and you, I don't know what you borrow money to buy to fix, you know, yep. desktops though. But if you don't want to, you know, put all your eggs in one basket. You got to diversify as it goes. You know, and we're just on this, you know, road just all together. Just, you know, we got to keep it going.
Don't you know it? Yeah, save your resources, because, you know, technology is going to migrate. It always does, and we have to migrate with it. And hanging on to, you know, your funds, you know, just is something that's important if you're going to survive, I think. So, you know.
Yeah. This is, in the small time that I've been doing, I mean, when I went to school for all this, it was ISA, you know, parts on the computer. There was no USB. And everything I learned in school's totally irrelevant now. And I've taught myself way more than I probably actually learned there to begin with. But it just gave, you know, and I recommend anybody who does this kind of stuff for their friends and their relatives, go take some classes at a community college, you know, get a good foundation built, and then learn the rest of the stuff on your own. You know, if you don't want to take, you know, I don't know if they tell anybody about malware in college, I really don't know.
Yeah. Yep. Great points, man. You know, just best thing I can tell anybody trying to start off, you know, just don't give up and be, keep doing good work. I mean, that's really important. Always, yeah. always do good work and be honest and, you know, keep your customers happy and just hang on, because it does take time.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, do you have anything else, or I can go into emails here, or?
Yeah. I think I'm about out of everything that I was going to bring up.
Okay. Well, I have a few emails here. Let's see how I do with these. Here's one here from Tony. It says, these are incredibly helpful to walk customers through router configurations remotely. As far as I can tell, they have guides for all models. It's much easier than having the customer read you things off of the screen in an effort of finding the right option. Now, what Tony's talking about here is if you have to remote in or call somebody on the phone who's having router problems. And I think what he's linking me to here is some router emulators. There's one called ui.linksys.com. Netgear has their own link for emulators. And basically what it is when you go to the emulators, you can click on and see exactly what the potential customer would be seeing when they go into their router settings. So they won't have to sit there and explain what they see. So that's a really good idea. And so if you didn't know about it, now you do. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks a lot. That is really neat. I when you first started talking, I thought maybe you got a hold of some manuals that maybe people who work in another country would be reading off of, and you could just read them for yourself.
I checked it out. It's actual screenshots of every, you know, every setting screen. You know, if you were to click this button or that button, what you would see, and it's exactly to a T what it looks like and everything. Actual screenshots.
What are the links, Tim?
I got one here, ui.linksys.com, and let's see, I'll post this other one here in the chat. The other ones are kind of long. There's a Netgear emulator. Emulators, voyproblem.com/emulators/Netgear is another link. And the other one is even longer. I'm not even going to read that.
The last one's long, but it's at dlink.com. You could probably find emulators there too.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Good idea.
Yeah, here's an email from Tom. He says, hi, love all the shows. I tried formatting a new WD hard drive in NTFS, and now nothing. Black is it? No boot screen. Can't get it to do a thing. Please help. I have been doing so good with the laptops till now. I am going back to the podcast to see if I can find something. Thanks, Steve, for any help. Say hello to the crew. Keep those podcasts coming again. Thanks. T-Bone. Oh, T-Bone, let's see. So you tried formatting a hard drive, NTFS, and now nothing. You know, now nothing. Does that mean, I think I need more information here. Does that mean no post? Are you not getting the computer to post at all? So I'm not really sure what he means on that.
I mean, if he formatted the drive and now it's not booting, that sounds like a successful format. You know, I suppose to...
Exactly. I mean, if it comes up and says, you know, no boot device, if it says that, throw your Windows disk in, throw your Windows operating system disk in, and point it to that hard drive. How about can you get into the BIOS? Is a question that I have. If you can get into the BIOS, can you see that new hard drive you put in there? Now, if it just doesn't do anything, I would, you know, pull the hard drive again and see if you can at least get a post, and you know, and then try, you know, installing the hard drive again. If you know, that's without any more information, I don't know how much more I can be on that. Okay. Let's see what we got here. This is one I just read. Sorry. He did this here. And okay, here we go. Here's one from Dan. He says, I have looked at your disassembly instructions for the Toshiba L505 series laptops and found it to be excellent. My question is that on the laptop I am trying to repair Toshiba Satellite L505 with the, and he gives a screen model number here. The video belt cable on the back of the screen connects to what I assume is a video board at the top of the screen. The connector looks like other connectors in the computer, but there is no release mechanism on the connector. When I removed the cable from the damaged screen, it was held in place by a piece of heavy tape and appeared to be a friction connection. I don't want to damage the new screen or the cable, so I am leery about forcing the ribbon cable back into the connector. Any suggestions? I'd be more than happy to join your site if you have an answer on this situation. Steve Cherubino, he responded to this by saying, thanks for the question. Many laptop screen cables are just held in place by the tape and friction. Make sure the new screen is compatible. That's very important. And the new connector should slide right in. Then fasten it with the tape. So, go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, a lot of them, they don't really, sometimes they don't show exactly what direction they went. So you kind of looked away to see the way the cord was folded before. And they just pop on there, though. I mean,
it's really something you have to be very careful with. Those video cables are very delicate. The connectors, the end connections of them are very delicate. What I would suggest is just being sure that you go in at a flat angle. Put the connector in, plug the connector in as flat and flush to the back of the screen as you can. What I do is I use, you know, what little bit of fingernails I have. I try to just get a little bit of a bite on each end of the plug and just kind of work one side in at a time as flat and flush as I can. And you'll know when you get it right. I mean, it doesn't take much force, so don't force it. That's definitely something you don't want to do. But, I would just try to get a little bite on each end of the cable. And you'll feel it kind of snap into place. And then, like Steve says, you know, use the tape and kind of tape it back up so it doesn't slip back out, because it is just a friction connection.
Sounds good here.
Yeah. All right. There's a couple more, but I'll probably wait till maybe next week or something to read. Anything else you want to add, Eric?
I got one more thing. I almost Flava Flav almost got me in big trouble a couple weeks ago.
Flava Flav.
Yeah, remember him?
He yeah.
He wears a big clock on his chest.
Yeah.
So about a half an hour away from here, he opened up a chicken restaurant with a guy from my town. And a guy I was working with never heard of him, you know. And I'm like, well, it's Flava Flav. You got, how could you not know this guy? So I pull up Google Images because I was helping him with eBay, and he had this big clock, and that's what started it all. This big clock that looked like it would be something he would wear from his chest. So yeah. I tried to pull up a picture of him. I went to Google Images and I clicked on him. And then all of a sudden, I'd never seen it before, but I just got the virus. The you are infected with all this stuff. Welcome to Windows XP Care 2011 virus.
Oh, man.
And I just wanted to say that I'd never seen it actually come in action. I've always fixed them, you know. I've always seen the after effects of it, but I've never actually seen it come. And Flavor Flav got me.
Or you at least know what? Those Google pictures, you know, when you click on the pics search, I mean, stay away from those, man. I've gotten bit too. I mean, you would think they would filter that somehow, but gotten in trouble a lot. Flavor Flav, huh? Flavor Flav. Have you had his chicken?
No, they actually, I think it was open for about 2 months, and then the people who worked there were complaining they weren't getting paid. And now it's a big lawsuit. They're Flavor Flav's suing the other guy, and he's suing him back. It's funny. It's a big mess. And I guess the store's closed already, and I didn't get a chance to try it.
Yeah, you know, he wouldn't strike me as the kind of guy to be a really great restaurant owner.
Yeah, I think that they met in Vegas one night and then started talking.
Well, he certainly got the money to open up a chain, but wow, that's a great story. So Eric, what's your website again?
www.siliconwrench.com.
Awesome. And for anybody that wants to be a guest on Pod Nuts Daily, hey, I really appreciate everybody that's signing up, who's responding to my call to arms. It has been awesome. Just really awesome. But you can sign up at the Pod Nuts forums at podnuts.com/forums. And you can go into the announcements and rules section, and there's a Pod Nuts guest sign up sheet. You can find an area in there where you can sign up for a show, or you can contact me at tim@timscomputerfix.com. My website is timscomputerfix.com. And on Twitter, you can find me at Timster_. And I think that is it for today for Podnuts Daily. See you next time.
Music for Podnuts Daily provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.